This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are you doing today on a Thursday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are joining us on the Bama Central YouTube channel or Facebook page. You're joining us on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6. We appreciate everybody who's hanging out with us right there or listening to us on their favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon, Red Circle, BUBBL, lots of different podcast platforms. You can be finding the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We are live in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios this morning. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Home, life, auto insurance needs, renter's insurance needs, boater's insurance needs. You can find Derek Daniel for anything you need in the insurance realm. Call him today at 205-758-3391. We're going to have a lot of fun here as it's a Thursday. We're going to have Football Friday tomorrow. We'll get Katie Windham on tomorrow, and she's going to tell you all about her brand new podcast that she's starting up. So we cannot wait to have that happen tomorrow with a real Football Friday. Huge, huge slate of games to talk about for this weekend ahead. We're obviously going to be focusing on Alabama-Wisconsin from our angle. We're going to talk about the starting quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers. We're going to talk about really Wisconsin's remaining schedule, Florida State's remaining schedule. The Seminoles are off this weekend, so I know all you guys are sitting there pulling for FSU. You get to just pay attention to Alabama this week because Florida State is off. We'll talk about their remaining schedule. We're going to talk about this game between Alabama and Wisconsin, how it needs to go for the Crimson Tide, and so much more today. We're joined by our friend Mason Woods. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Writing, recruiting for all things Alabama, Vanderbilt, Boston College, and Missouri. Good morning, Mason. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. I just found some very funny information out about my fantasy football league. We had one matchup this week that was determined by like 0.6 points or something like that.
Appeal!
And the stat corrections just came through this morning. No. And he is now a loser this week after one of his IDPs got one of his tackles taken away.
No!
And it is causing some ruckus in the group chat.
Oh yeah. Go from a 0.6 winner to a loser by 1.4.
I won by such a large margin that my stat corrections did not matter. So, you know, I didn't have to worry about that because again, I won by such a large margin, but you know, some other people have to be concerned about those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's not for us. Both of us winning our respective leagues last year, and looks like both of us starting off pretty well. High scorers in our same respective leagues.
Most points in the league this week.
Exactly. So I pocketed the $10 weekly prize, and I just need to win 9 more of them to get all my money back, and then I won't have to worry about the playoffs, and won't have to worry about other payouts. We'll see if we can't do it at least just one more time this year. Playing a guy who played in the finals last year this week.
Ooh-wee. So, that's what I played week one.
All right.
Beat him again.
There you go. Let him know. New year, same
he's
story.
He's the commissioner of our league, actually, so it really hurts for him.
Same story. New season. same book. You're reading from the exact same book. You're getting whipped by Mason Woods' fantasy football team.
Man, that is just an unbelievably tough way to open a Thursday for somebody right there, finding out they went from a win to a loss. 2-0 looks a whole lot better than 1-1.
Right.
He's still got league median, which, you know, we do the little median thing to get you the extra win there, the extra game every week. But, man, that's tough. I would be upset.
Yeah, just as you were planning on being in the top half of your league, now week two becomes dire almost.
Man, oh, man. But yeah, I'm doing good today.
Who are the Packers playing tonight?
The Commies.
Oh, man. Packers and Commanders tonight. So we will not be watching any of that. We're going to be at Two Dime.
Some decisions to make, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be at Two Dime, and there's no decision for us. We will be at Two Dimes on the Strip tonight for the Crimson Clash. It's going to be right there in between Glory Bound and the Waffle House across the street from the Houndstooth on the Strip. It's the next New Era Wrestling show. We haven't done a whole lot of New Era Wrestling as the football season has commenced, and I'm sure that most of you are enjoying that. Some of you are hating that. Crimson Clash is tonight. Right there on the Strip. So if you're looking for any entertainment, you want to not watch the Green Bay Packers on your television, I don't blame you. Who wants to watch that terrible organization operate? I don't. Come down to the Strip, and you can watch Big Trouble Ben Bishop. You're going to see J-Rod from OVW. Apparently, she was on American Gladiators. I used to love American Gladiators as a kid. You're going to be able to watch the Alpha Alexander Lincoln, see what he's going to do after he lost his title at the last show. Sleazy C. Caden Newton is going to do an open weight triple threat match for his title, since he just won over Alpha Alexander Lincoln. He's taking on... who he's taking on the Diamondback Christian Pierce and Brother Azrael. So it's going to be a big match for that. You're going to have a street fight between the Draw and the Modern Day Kings. It's going to be a huge night, really. So come down to Two Dimes and get yourself some tickets. It's going to be great. The bell rings at 8 o'clock. The doors open at 7. So come down at 7. Get yourself a photo with Big Trouble Ben Bishop. You guys see Big Trouble Ben Bishop all over your social media machines. I think he's up to in the 20, 30,000 follower range. So if you're a wrestling fan at all, you've seen some of his work. It'll be a chance for you to see him in person. So yeah, gonna be a great night over down on the Strip. We will not be watching any of Packers and Commanders, and the Thursday night slate for college is really not good.
Yeah, it's a big one this week.
So really easy for you guys to choose and join us over at Two Dimes as the college football really kind of starts on Friday night with some decent Friday night football, but really nothing on tonight in the realm of good college football. Tonight, if you are staying at home, NC State and Wake Forest at 6:30 on ESPN. That looks like the only game on the slate. I changed the tab to FBS 1A. That looks like the only game on the slate. NC State, Wake Forest tonight at ESPN. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be a non-conference game between the two of them.
I think I saw that as well. It's some weird scheduling thing because the ACC has too many teams now. And they wanted to keep, I think, certain rivalries, but then they couldn't do that because they have to rotate the schedule. So these two teams, I believe, wanted to play each other, and this was the only way to make it happen.
Imagine Alabama playing Tennessee, LSU playing Auburn, Mississippi State playing Georgia. No, I don't consider Georgia a traditional rival. Yeah. Those four, really. We haven't played Mississippi State in a couple of years, and imagine if the 2026 schedule has Alabama not playing Mississippi State, but the two schools say, hey, we want to, you know, not circumvent this Power Four rule.
No, but just keep the rivalry alive.
Right. You know? We're gonna make it really easy. Greg says we all have to play another Power Four team. Let's just play each other, and we won't make it a conference game. I mean, Alabama, Mississippi State, year in and year out, non-conference rivals.
I kind of love that. Yes. If you're at Alabama, if you're at Georgia, if you're in Ohio State, Oregon, you know, if you're one of these top-end teams at the top of your conference, just schedule a bottom feeder of your conference as a non-conference game. And then that buys you a very respectable-looking Power 5 win. Yes. I mean, you think we're going to sit here in Week 12 and say, you know, that Alabama's win over Mississippi State is worse than if it had been over Eastern Illinois? No, that looks a lot better than if it was over Eastern Illinois. That strength, that's a resume builder right there.
That's right.
We're onto something here.
Mississippi State.
And we figured it out, not Wake Forest.
What, does Mississippi State need to get paid by Alabama? Is it a buy game?
It might have to
500K?
Be. 500K? Sure, it might have to be, but they probably got it in the budget somewhere. I imagine the payout there as opposed to the potential earnings from a college football playoff berth and so on and so forth. I think you can probably make that decision easily.
We could sit there and say that we play, 11?
Yeah.
12? 11 Power Four games.
I'll give you one a year that you can go, you know, you can go play Little Sisters of the Poor.
ULM, sorry, yeah. It was you.
I'll give you one, and you get to schedule it before, you know, a big game like you've done this time where, you know, you kind of have it before Georgia, and then you get the time to rest as well. You're fine. I'm okay with that. But, yeah, we're playing 11 Power Four games. 11 SEC games, ideally. We're throwing Kentucky and Mississippi State on the schedule.
Just rotating them on, on a non-conference basis. Yeah. I love it. I think that's great. And as the premier brand in college football and the premier brand in the SEC, we should be leading the charge in that.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC, shouldn't they love that plan? Like, it keeps all of your games in-house. You don't have to put any money to any other conferences or anything like that. I understand that, you know, the schools, you might take some convincing for some of these schools to do that.
Yeah, but Mississippi State needs that win so they can go bowling, so they can get the six
yeah,
wins.
Yeah,
they need that non-conference spot. They got to play East Mississippi Community College.
Well, hey, you better tell them they better pick it up. Jeff Levy, figure it out, big dog.
They picked it up this past week, beating Arizona State.
That game was awesome. Did you watch it?
No, we were still in the stadium.
Incredible, man. We were still in the stadium. Oh, yeah, duh, obviously, yeah. Oh, man, you missed out. That was a hell of a football game.
I heard
Arizona State might not be very good,
go ahead.
But it was a hell of a game.
I heard Mississippi State throws a pass at the end to win, basically.
Yeah, threw a nice little bomb to caught the kid, and he kind of, you know, cut it back a little bit to score there and ran a little post route type thing. It was a great game. It was very fun to watch. Happy to see Mississippi State get that big win. Now,
more cowbell.
What are we doing storming the field for Arizona State? Folks, come on. I mean, I know they went to the playoff last year, but it's Arizona State. This is not a football powerhouse. That was a fluke season for Arizona State to get to the college football playoff. Kenny Dillingham was a great coach. They had a lot of things go right for them last year that put them in the spot that they were. Yeah, that was quite sad to me to see Mississippi State storming the field after that.
I think it's just become one of those things.
It has, and it sucks. It's lost every bit of luster.
Right. And this becomes old man yells at cloud, sits on porch, says, get off my lawn. But the young folks just want to rush the field.
Yeah.
They saw Clemson doing it their whole life because Clemson has like some sort of structure to it, and they do it after every home win. We want to get on the field too.
Getting my video.
Yeah, selfie stick, video on the field, whole nine yards. Because, I mean, I was down there.
It means nothing anymore, folks. No. Like, your video is not, it's not cool anymore. It was cool 5 years ago when nobody got to storm the field, and it was like, oh, we beat a top five team for the first time in history. Run on out there. That's awesome.
All right, Vanderbilt last year, perfect. You should storm the
sure,
field.
Yeah.
You should storm the field. Did Tennessee storm against Alabama? I think they did.
They did as well.
I think we're on 11 in a row, aren't we? 11 losses in a row, 11 field stormings in a row. I'm pretty sure that's what it is in the back of my head. But Oklahoma, I was in the end zone at the end of the game last year, and we're starting to get crowded. People are jumping the barrier, getting ready to go on. And I turned around, I asked them, I said, y'all are Oklahoma. Y'all are, I'm sorry, Joe's take, you're a blue blood program.
I mean, yeah, historically, you are on par, at least, with Alabama.
Yes. I said, what are y'all doing? Well, we're going bowling. We're going to be bowl eligible.
You should be pissed.
I'm like, yes, bowl eligible is like a baseline goal for a program like Oklahoma. You guys should be not booing because y'all won. Sure. You pull off a big win, but like you should be walking away thinking, yeah, that's right. That's how we should play. You shouldn't be, oh, praise the Lord, let's go rush the field.
I can't believe we did it.
Right, right. And so they rush the field early.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there on like literally at the 50 in the middle, and the PA announcer is all, please get off the field. The game is not over. And I'm like, what are we doing now?
It's just gotten way out of hand. What's going to be the...
Is Georgia going to storm the field in 2 weeks?
Who's going to be the first stadium that puts up like hockey plexiglass walls around so nobody can storm the field? Because
Georgia needs to
those penalties from the SEC, I bet add up.
Yeah, $500,000 for Mississippi State this week for storming the field against Arizona State.
I mean, that's a wide receiver for Mississippi State this coming season. That's
right.
That's a new quarterback after Blake Shapen leaves or whatever. You know, that's, man.
Right. I'm talking to a state buddy who is outside of his mind and going nuts. And I say, hey, man, it's about a B-plus win. Like, good job.
We'll see how Arizona State finishes.
Right. It's a good win. It's probably a better win than that for Mississippi State, given you know, their competition level over the last couple of years. But in the scheme of college football, that's a B-plus win. And, you know, Mississippi State, we don't have a lot of B-plus wins on our resume, especially under Jeff Lebby so far. But goodness gracious, shouldn't our bar be better than that? Are y'all going to rush the field when you beat Ole Miss? if you beat Ole Miss, you're going to rush the field. And you know,
they will.
That's disgusting. Have some sort of pride about yourself. Have some sort of standard about yourself.
Yeah, I was talking to, you know, watching that game, talking to some friends of mine about just the plight of a Mississippi State fan. You know, it has to just be you spend all day just reminding people, hey, Dak Prescott went here. Remember him? You remember Dak? Because, like, what else do you have?
Go Cowboys!
what else? You know, it's I imagine it does have to be
you
a tough
Montez
spot.
You got Montez Sweat on the Chicago Bears.
Hey, there we go. It does have to be a bit of a tough spot. But, yeah, it's I just to see you're in the SEC. Like, you are I don't care where you're at in the SEC because you are a bottom feeder of the SEC. But it doesn't matter. You're still in the SEC. Like, you still get you still get to carry yourself as if you're better than the rest of the country at
no,
football.
You don't.
You absolutely do. You get to wear that SEC on your jersey, and you get to say, I'm in the SEC, and you're not, buddy.
And we're in the bottom.
Doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter, because you are in the best conference. We play the best of the best. You shouldn't be storming the field beating a non-SEC team, just on a base level. Unless it's Ohio State or something.
There needs to be rules here. If you're storming the field, it has to be either you haven't won a game in...
Yeah, sure. We're going to put a hard mark on
it. In how many games? Eight?
We'll say you haven't won a home game. Yeah, you're 0-8 in the last 12 home games. Eight's fair.
All right, you haven't won a home game.
Yeah, eight's fair.
You haven't won a home game in a year.
Seasons almost. Or one?
Just one. 6-7.
We probably got to make that more than, we probably got to go like 15, 16.
All right, you either haven't won a home game in 2 years, and you can storm the field against anyone. Sure. Right, great job. You are beating a top 10 team, 5?
I would say 5.
Okay.
It just depends on who you are. You know, if you're... who was it I'm blanking on who, but you know, if you are just some tiny school and it's basically a bye game and you're upsetting a top 10 team or whatever, top 25 team, whatever, that's fine.
Did Tarleton rush the field against Army?
You know, I think they did. And that's probably okay. I think you're allowed to probably do that. I imagine that was their first FBS win.
Right. If your opponent is one level up, like if it's 1AA and you're beating a 1A school, you can rush the field. You can rush the field if you are in the non-Power 4 beating a Power 4 team. Yeah.
I think even that, you know, we might get a little hairy even there, though. You know, you look like a... I don't know who it is, but a top, you know, Tulane, for example. If Tulane comes out and beats Northwestern,
sure.
Is that really doing? Is that moving the needle for anybody?
They're going to come out and beat Duke this week. One and a half point
underdog.
That's
what I'm hoping for. I love Tulane. It's something about those colors, the little fighting wave on the helmet. It's amazing. I love Tulane.
Go green wave, roll wave, roll. Let's see what you got this weekend. Get yourself a revenge chance against Darian Mensah.
Man, couldn't believe he transferred. And I'm sure there's probably some story there that I'm not privy to, but just very strange.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Like, does Duke even, dude, they got it like that for football? They spending like that for football, though?
They got wealthy donors.
But, like, they don't care about football?
Of course.
It's a basketball school.
But if I can buy a quarterback, Mason, I'm not buying a left guard. Buying a quarterback. The face of our program.
Yeah, everybody knows a quarterback directly correlates to wins.
That's an easy way to trick your ear.
Oh yeah.
You want to talk about a quarterback and see if Wisconsin's got a quarterback? Are they going to come down this weekend?
We'll see what they have this weekend.
Okay, you got news today, breaking this morning. Pete Thamel and several other people basically going out there and reporting that Billy Edwards Jr., who walked into the year as Wisconsin's starting quarterback, is unlikely, quote, unlikely to play this weekend against Alabama. Billy Edwards Jr. suffered a non-contact knee injury in the first game against Miami of Ohio, about middle of the second quarter, if I can remember on my rewatch yesterday. Suffered a non-contact knee injury. Billy Edwards Jr. by way of Wake Forest and Maryland. Last year at Maryland, threw for 2,800 passing yards, 15 touchdowns with 9 interceptions. Also had 158 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. So is unlikely to play against the Crimson Tide. Now, we kind of thought that that was going to be the case after he did get hurt against Miami of Ohio. They bring in Danny O'Neill into the game against Miami of Ohio. They ended up winning the game against Miami of Ohio, 17-0, and really looked bad doing it. They were up 3-0 at halftime. They ended up needing an almost pick six to set them up on the goal line to score that the last touchdown to take them from 10-0 to 17-0. They really did not look good offensively. But the next week, looking a lot better with Danny O'Neill. Danny O'Neill comes in by way of San Diego State. He's a sophomore, is that right? Yeah. His freshman season at San Diego State, this is the current quarterback, the one who's likely going to play against Alabama on Saturday. Danny O'Neill passed for 2,100 yards, 2,181, 12 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, also had 93 rushing yards and 1 rushing touchdown. So far through basically 1.5 games with Wisconsin, he's thrown for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He has 24 rushing yards and 1 touchdown on the ground. So 5 total touchdowns in a game and a half against really, really subpar competition. You know, you want two picks. Ooh. Yeah, not good. Three-star recruit was considering offers from Colorado, Indiana, Louisville, Purdue, Northwestern, Syracuse, Wake Forest, West Virginia. Committed to Colorado, then
Deion ran him out.
Right. Decommitted. And ultimately chose to play for San Diego State.
That probably is, timeline-wise, that might have been actually what happened to him. It might have been Shadur showing up that ran him out of town.
O'Neill, shortly after the conclusion of Colorado's regular season finale, O'Neill decommitted from the Buffaloes. This would have been the end of the 23 season.
So that would have been a year late then, right? Because he showed up for that 23 season, I think, didn't he?
Yes. I think so. So Danny O'Neill becomes the likely starting quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers against Alabama. Danny O'Neill, I watched the Miami of Ohio game, and I've watched bits and pieces of the MTSU game, and I've tried to watch Wisconsin closely, but they're not good. They're not good. You've got a couple skill. We talked about it yesterday. You got a couple skill position guys that I like. Who's the wide receiver? Vinny Anthony. Vinny Anthony, I like him pretty decently. Tretch Kekahuna has been effective in the running game, kind of getting him the ball on speed sweeps type stuff, on motion, you know,
fast guy.
Read option. We're going to pitch it out to you kind of guy, swing pass kind of guy. So Tretch Kekahuna has some athleticism to him, but really, I'm just not seeing an offense that is going to put the Alabama defense to the test, and that continues with Danny O'Neill under center. Like, if it was Billy Edwards, okay, you have a little bit of your artillery is a little better, right? You don't have just what's a tiny BB gun, a little 22. You've got something with actual that can actually take down a bullet, take down a bear, maybe. Maybe I'm just not respecting this Wisconsin team enough, but I've put them on all week on my tape at home and just thought, this is not a good football team.
That video that you shared with me of the extended highlights, or the, you know, kind of shortened game film, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, it just gave me no reason to think that they really have any chance of doing anything in this game. I think that, you know, when Alabama plays a team that can match up with them athletically and can match up with them speed wise and things, that's when they have issues. This is just not going to be one of those times. I don't think Wisconsin has really anybody on the field for them that is faster than really any one player on Alabama. I'm with you. Maybe I'm disrespecting the Badgers here, but I don't see much to give me any reason to put any faith in them in this game. I think Alabama, you know, I didn't have any faith in Alabama last weekend against ULM. They completely proved me wrong, and I will have some faith in them this weekend, and that they're probably going to win. And I would imagine cover that, if it's still at 21, cover that 21.
Yeah, it's still. Let me double check and make sure that it is still.
I'm sure. I mean, I can't imagine that the announcement of
20 and a half currently. So you can, if you think Alabama's going to win by three touchdowns, which I kind of do.
Yeah.
The money is the line is working towards your direction, towards your favor. Maybe you can hope for another dollar or two, another point or two coming off that to get to 18 and a half. But I think 21 is a safe number here.
Yeah, I think I feel good about that. You know, Kalen DeBoer is not a dumb man. I know a lot of you may have thought that he was after week one, but he is not a dumb man. He is going to he put up 73 points against ULM for a reason, folks. I think he's going to keep the foot on the gas to keep you people happy. I would expect Alabama to be doing everything they can to have a very high scoring output once again this week. And, you know, I think they'll be pretty successful in that as well. I expect to see, you know, another like 50 point performance or so from this Alabama team this week.
So in the last game, Danny O'Neill with against MTSU, 23 of 27. So really good completion percentage, 283 yards. Pretty good, man. Hey. Three touchdowns and one interception. He took three carries for 11 yards as well. If I'm Wisconsin, it's because I did like the running back room a little. Do I want any of their running backs over the Alabama running backs? No, I'll just be clear on that. But I like Dylan Jones. I like Cade Yakimeli, and I like Darian Dupree.
I mean, that's kind of Wisconsin's bread and butter usually. You know, they produce some good running backs, some decent, you know, trench guys.
This room is about almost a B-plus room. This room is an 85-86. I like Darian Free, a little bit of a speedy guy. I like Dylan Jones as well. Yakimeli can kind of do a lot of things, but I also just love that last name.
It's a great name.
Cade Yakimeli. 4 yards for Yakimeli.
I bet, you know, as much as I don't love Gus Johnson, I bet hearing him say Yakimeli on a big noon kickoff is probably pretty nice.
Yes. So if I'm Wisconsin, if I'm their offensive coordinator, I think that I, yes, exactly. I think that I'm just
run the ball, buddy.
How patient can you be?
Yeah.
Who can be more patient? Can we make this? I know it says first and 10 out there, boys, but this is actually a first and 3. It's first and 3. It's second and 3. It's third and 3. It's fourth and 2. The whole game. And because I don't think you're getting down the field on this Alabama team. I don't think any of these wide receivers, you're not going to throw over them. I don't think that Danny O'Neill has the arm talent to push the ball down the field against this secondary. I think that Danny O'Neill has the arm talent to do what Thomas Castellanos did in the first game, where if you've got everything schemed nicely, I can hit 10 passes that are 12 yards away, 8 yards away, and let my receivers do the work. I think that you're going to see a lot of underneath action. And if you're Wisconsin, you just commit to playing in the phone booth and you try to say, hey, man, we'll take 9 minutes off the clock if it's a 17-play drive, sort of thing.
That is Wisconsin's path to victory in this game. It's just you got to keep the ball out of Alabama's hands.
Right. Because I don't really see that being viable.
No, I don't either.
Their drives against MTSU, 8 plays, 34 yards, 3 and out, 8 plays, 80 yards. There you go. 8 plays, 80 yards and a touchdown, or 11 plays, 80 yards and a touchdown. Dyslexia getting to me. I got that same learning disability that Caleb Williams has. 9 plays, 38 yards and a touchdown. There we go. Throws an interception on 1 play, end of half. All right, next play, 2 plays, 73 yards. That's not going to work. 5 plays, 50 yards and a touchdown. That'll be kind of what you... Here you go. 7 plays, 99 yards in the fourth quarter to take it from 28-10 to 35-10. Touchdown again to take it to 42. 7 plays, 53 yards. Then three and out. 7 plays, 41 yards and turnover on downs. Another turnover on down, 7 plays, 35 yards, and another turnover on downs, 3 plays, 6 yards.
Yeah, you're going to need about an 18-play drive that lasts for 12 and a half minutes. And you have to score at the end of it, too.
4 times.
Yeah.
Four different times.
Mm-hmm. Godspeed to you, you know. Hey, if you can get that done, that's your recipe for beating this Alabama team, Wisconsin. I think that's really the only chance you've got. You have to... You know, the offense has to keep the ball out of Alabama's hands, and your defense has to play like their heads are on fire.
That, and Wisconsin comes into a road environment Did Luke Fickell talk about playing Iowa? Is that who the Big Ten school that he compared it to the other day?
I didn't see this. That's a bad comparison, though.
Right. I think it was Iowa.
I don't believe that there's any school anywhere that you can compare to an SEC game day. I know maybe that, you know, that may be me speaking with a little bit of hubris. I have not been all around the country to some of these big time, you know, locations and things, these stadiums, but I just, from what I understand, from what I have seen, I don't believe that anywhere else is doing it like they do in the South. And I don't think that any experience at any other stadium, whether it's one that fills up regularly, like, you know, the Shoe or Outson Zoo out in Oregon, like, I just don't think they're doing it like they do it down South.
They played a terrible road schedule last year. If you're looking for environments, Mason, holy smokes. This is their road schedule last year. Now, they've played two home games already. So no road games yet. Their road schedule last year, this is awful. At USC, so Southern Cal.
Okay, about 10 people were there.
Yeah, all right. You're picking up what I'm putting down. At Rutgers, this is in order. At USC is September 28th. At Rutgers, October 12th.
Ciano!
At Northwestern, October 19th.
Whoa!
That stadium, Northwestern Stadium, holds like 35,000 people. Like, okay.
Then, they were loud and proud.
Then November 2nd, they're at Iowa.
Okay. Is that the best one? That
is easily the best one.
Iowa State that does the wave.
Iowa.
Okay.
And Kinect Stadium holds 69,250, according to Wikipedia.
That's cute.
That's so almost 70,000. They did get a game. Okay. They did play at Nebraska.
Okay, that's respectable somewhat.
Doesn't Nebraska have a nice capacity?
At what point in the season was that also?
Late.
There's a point where those Nebraska fans lose hope every year.
November 23rd. And no, Nebraska went bowling last year.
Oh, that's right.
Not Clemson. I want Memorial Stadium, Lincoln. Lincoln, their capacity, according to the Wikipedia, is 85-4. Okay.
That's respectable.
All right, so those are your two experiences. Iowa. Almost 70K, and at Nebraska, you lost to Iowa 42-10. You lost to Nebraska 44-25 last season.
I'm not super plugged into this Wisconsin team, how they played last year. I know they weren't great. I really thought that you were going to say just that they, you know, had some close games. They almost pulled out some wins on these tough road environments. If you get beat like that, you cannot bring that up as an example of, yeah, we've played in tough environments. You got slaughtered in that game.
They finished the year last year, 5 losses in a row. Penn State, 28-13. Iowa, 42-10. Oregon, holy smokes, they played Oregon 16-13 right there at home in Camp Randall.
Of course.
Nebraska, we said 44-25. And then back at home for the finale, Minnesota lost 24-7.
Lost to Minnesota,
needing to win to go to a bowl game. That loss took them to 5-7 instead of 6-6.
We all row. PJ Fleck still doing that thing.
That's right. Row the boat. All right. So you're coming with a quarterback who is underwhelming from a talent perspective. You're coming for your first road game of the year. You're playing competition on the field that is, I'm sorry, light years better than Miami of Ohio and MTSU. And I know we're all down on Alabama right now, that's fine. But, like, even down on Alabama is way better than Miami of Ohio and MTSU.
Yeah, even if you get the same Alabama that played week one, that's a better football team than what Miami of Ohio or MTSU have. Because that football team still had, as we talked about, like, was a one-score game in the third quarter. As bad as they played, that team still almost won that game. So even if you get that version of Alabama this week, I'm not all that concerned about losing. Now, I'll be concerned about the outlook for this team, but I just have a hard time thinking that Wisconsin's pulling this one out.
Yeah, just going to be real. It's real kind of tough for me to get geared up for this, because when I put Wisconsin on, I don't see really anything on their film that makes me think, that could be an issue.
Yeah,
now, they could lean on this heavy or lean on that heavy and come out with a win. You've got, let's see, did they even get after either of these passers? Box score, sacks. Give me some sacks numbers. Hopefully Wisconsin got a lot of sacks.
It's
got
like eight, and I think they have like eight in the first two games or something.
Okay, that's five like, against the MTSU. So maybe they can get after Alabama's offensive line and make this an interesting day along the offensive line.
I don't think so.
All right, pound the ball.
Yeah,
pound that ball, Ryan Grubb.
We mentioned like the keys, the pathway to victory for them.
Run that ball.
But like, even if you do get those very long, sustained touchdown drives where it's you're taking 10 minutes off the clock, 8, 9, 10 minutes off the clock, like your defense still does have your defense has to do its part too. And Good luck keeping Jeremy Bernard out of the end zone. Good luck keeping Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, whoever, Lozier Brooks,
whoever.
Good luck, buddy.
Run that ball, Ryan Grubb. Pound it right at their faces.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the way Wisconsin wants to play, I think it would be, I would
bloody their nose.
Yeah, it would be like a certain attitude thing for Alabama to do it right back to them, but much better.
All right, so let's talk about what Kalen DeBoer said on the SEC coaches teleconference call yesterday. The only real notable things that he talked about were injury-related, calling Jamarian Latham, calling Tim Keenan, and Jam Miller, all game-time decisions.
What about Bubba Hampton no longer being with the team? That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Don't really know anything about it. Not really going to speculate as to what happened there, but just intriguing as a guy that, you know, I feel like we had mentioned a handful of times last season, just as like, you know, this guy could be good one day. And then, you know, unfortunately, he's not going to be.
Well, I think that I think Bubba Hampton got hurt towards the end of the year last year. We were waiting to go in for a bowl practice, and he kind of walked mm-hmm. out on crutches. I think he got hurt at the end of last year. I have no idea what the circumstances of him not being on the team are, whether it's his choice, whether it's DeBoer's choice, whether it's academic related, injury related, trouble related. I have no idea. No idea. But just from an outside perspective, to me, it doesn't surprise me that much considering ending the year on an injury. Sure. You bring in Lozier and Derek Meadows and Isaiah Horton, and your wide receiver room looks extremely stacked. And then you look at the 26 class of wide receivers, and you think, oh,
writing on the wall.
Sidere Morgan, Owen Cabell, Brian Williams Jr., or Thomas Jr.? Williams. Not the receiver
Jr.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Need a big game for him this week.
That's right.
Let me down a little bit last
week. So you
bring
in Williams Jr., Cabell, and Morgan.
Yeah.
And I think for him it's like, well,
yeah,
let me just get my knee right, get my leg right. I think it was a knee. Let me just get my lower body. We'll say that. My lower body right, and I'll hit the transfer portal and be ready to make a strong decision in the transfer portal in this new 10-day window in the spring.
Or haven't really seen much of the actual full extended quote, but he got into penalties a little bit, right? The penalty issue, or is that from something else? Is it from Hey Coach, maybe?
I think that was from Mondays he talked about penalties, but he might have yesterday as well.
I just know I saw it when we were.
What did you?
Really, just kind of, and I don't love this answer, just him giving his typical, well, I'll tell you, the guys are upset about it. And it's like, yeah. So are we. Fix it. I don't. And, you know, the surrounding narrative I'm now seeing kind of pop up from various outlets and things is that this is not a new problem to Kalen DeBoer. This goes way back throughout his entire coaching career. Many of his teams have been a bit undisciplined on the penalty
front. Coach Saban over the last five years.
Yeah. But specifically, like, apparently this is not new for DeBoer in DeBoer-led football teams. Apparently, penalties have been an issue for a while, dating back to his time at Fresno State. So, you know, it might just be part of the game with him, which is unfortunate because I think Alabama fans, especially, like you just said, we've seen this for 3, 4, 5 years now. Is at the end of the Coach Saban's tenure, it was like you were one of the most penalized teams in the country year in, year out for the last few years there.
We need to bring back public embarrassment, Mason. If you commit a penalty, even if you're...
They put your face on the Jumbotron and everybody yells, shame! Shame! Shame!
Even if you're Ty Simpson or you're Parker Brailsford or you're Caden Proctor, I'm just trying to think of like the most... The least likely to be subbed out of the game, mm-hmm. sub them out, make them do 20 push-ups on the sideline What do you like better? Do you like 20 push-ups or do you like three stadium steps? You open up the little
to stand up there and everyone gets to throw hot dogs at him.
Open up the gate, make the boys put some tennis shoes on because you're not doing it in your cleats, Billy. Because you do it in your cleats and you fall and you're out the rest of the game. Bigger problems. You swap your cleats off, put your tennis shoes on, and you're running stadium steps, three stadium steps, up and down three different times, and you're gonna listen to Gary from Gordo at the top of the section go, "Get your bleep right! Get your bleep out of your bleep!"
Yeah, and start. How about we always have the penalty pedestal on the sideline? It's like the penalty box in hockey, but instead you just go stand there in front of all of the lower bowl crowd.
No helmet.
Yeah, and they get to just that you get 2 minutes. 2 minutes of sitting there.
Boo!
Yeah, and you just got to listen to them. They can't. We'll tell them they can't throw anything. That's okay.
Right.
But no spitting. You gotta listen to what they have to say.
No spitting. No throwing banana. No throwing tomatoes. Whatever. No throwing hot. But you get boo. Mm-hmm.
Get your head out of here.
Yeah.
Why'd you grab his dadgum face mask? Bah, boo.
Nick Saban wouldn't have allowed that.
that's what they need.
Come on, coach. So we got to bring back public shame.
We get them in one of those little golf carts and they drive them in just a lap around. Everybody gets to say something to them.
You got to stand in the back.
Yeah.
You know, just like it's the national anthem, hands behind your back and just stand there and take it.
Something's got to be done because we're joking, but that is,
I'm not joking.
That is part of this, I think, in that once you get to a certain level of football, you know, those little things kind of quit happening because, oh, we're all professionals here.
I'm not joking at all.
Like, there is a level of these players do need to feel some shame when they commit costly penalties. And I don't know that they necessarily do. It's more of just, oh, whatever, we'll get them next time. It's like, that mentality is great when you drop a pass. Or when you miss an assignment, but like when you just do something actively stupid, you need to feel a little shame for it.
Right. So Coach DeBoer needs to have two categories. You got effort penalties, which kind of, you know, sometimes happen.
I'm fine with an effort penalty. I'll take a hold on you're trying to get a guy, you're trying to turn a guy on a sweep.
But
or something.
You fall started, dadgummit.
Yeah.
You delay a game, Ty Simpson. Keelan, get in there. Austin, get in there.
We gotta have the DJ just throw their picture on the Jumbotron and have everybody turn and laugh at them or something. That'd be good.
We can figure this out, Coach DeBoer. I'm partial to the push-ups just because when you
got to make sure everybody sees the push-ups. Though. Everyone in the stadium has to see them.
Right. You've got to you know how the cheerleaders, they put the mascot up and they make them do the push-ups for the points. You take the penalizer and you say, "Come on, buddy, you got to get on the board." And all of the cheerleaders lift up the board, and the cheerleaders are the ones leading the boo, bad form, that one doesn't count.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do 20 push-ups raised up, and everybody can boo you.
I like that.
Because for me, when I was first starting to play football, it was, "Joe, you're playing wide receiver, and oh, you drop a pass, go to the sidelines, 10 push-ups," and my arms would get too, and I'd be like, "I don't want to drop this next pass. I want to focus in and haul it in."
What do you think of Fran Brown last weekend making his players run wind sprints after that game?
Perfect.
Yes and no. That was performative. That was very performative, I thought.
Discipline these young man.
It was, "Hey, everybody, watch me discipline my team. Make sure you see it. Make sure you tweet about it. Make sure you write stories about it." I don't know.
Do you think that would be the reaction to Coach DeBoer putting these guys on the push-up pedestal?
Yeah, maybe from some people, yes. I think from certain swath of fans that are maybe above a certain age, they would love it.
Right.
He comes into the
press conference. "Coach, you were making guys do push-ups on the sidelines after it looked like it was after they got penalized." Yeah, we're just interested in accountability. We're just trying to.
And that'd be cool. You know, that'd maybe be okay if it was. It just felt like when Syracuse did it, it was so like, "Hey, everybody, make sure you get this. Make sure you watch what we're doing." And I don't know. It felt very disingenuous to me. Why, you know, run your team, go to the locker room, yell at them, and then bring them back out there once the stadium's cleared. And that's when you run your sprints. And then you have one reporter who's up there still working oh, catcher snaps a video of it. Like that, that'd be, you know, good, but it's not. And instead, it's game just ended. Stay out here. We're not going to the locker room. And that's just because he didn't want to go answer questions.
Well, he probably had that right there. I don't want to do a press conference. What do you think about Brian Benson not doing a press conference?
I don't blame him. I wouldn't have done one either. He just got 73-0'd. He just got a 70 burger.
So, Coach, what worked for you tonight?
I mean, yeah, like what questions are you going to answer?
Nothing.
They're going to walk up and then say, well, what'd you think about tonight's game? And you're going to say, it was bad.
Well, Coach, how are you going to get this thing back on track? By not playing Alabama like,
this
next week?
Game was not even on ULM's schedule. This was not a game that they are considering in the grand scheme of their season. They it's been, oh yeah, we got to go do that, whatever. They're playing 11 games this season. Like, they're not, that game is not on their schedule, really. It's just something they have to go do.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I thought a lot of people, and I didn't see like a ton of people being upset about it or saying,
no,
professional, but
no,
but just a lot of like, I've never seen this before. I was like, what do you expect the man to do?
Right. Who cares? who ultimately cares? It doesn't matter. What did you want him to say? Well, Alabama was good tonight.
That's just, yeah, that's Alabama my thing. Was better. Like, I don't know what anybody would have expected out of him other than, you know, I don't even know. I don't know. I respected the move of just saying, you know what? Not worth my time.
All right, so let's take a small break, and we'll come back. I want to look at Wisconsin's remaining schedule, and I want to look at Florida State's remaining schedule because I think these will be important things to keep your eyes on if you're an Alabama Crimson Tide fan.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Get ready, Tuscaloosa. New Era Wrestling presents the Crimson Clash. The hottest local wrestling show in town slams into Two Dimes on Thursday, September 11th. Witness the chaos as social media sensation Big Trouble Ben Bishop brings his larger-than-life swagger to the ring. The man is 6'12", he weighs 15% of a metric ton, and is bringing every bit to Tuscaloosa. Feel the heat when our new champion, Sleazy C. Caden Newton, defends the open title. And don't miss the brutal street fight between the modern-day kings and the unstoppable force known as the Draw. It's the same weekend as Alabama hosting Wisconsin, so keep the Tuscaloosa energy high with the Crimson Clash. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the bell rings at 8 p.m. at Two Dimes on the Strip. Grab your tickets now on Eventbrite by searching New Era Wrestling and use promo code RADIO for 20% off. New Era Wrestling, where legends are made and the battles are epic.
You need length and girth in this league.
And welcome back to the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You're watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on Facebook, on the Bama Central Facebook page, listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Lots of you are doing that. I appreciate that so, so much. If you are doing that yourself, go ahead and subscribe to the page on those podcast platforms. Hit 5 stars, hit a like on it, help it get out to other people. We appreciate so much everybody jumping in and joining the Joe Gaither Show. In the last few months, we've had a lot of listeners adding to the program. Mason, I want to finish by looking at Florida State's schedule, and I want to finish by looking at Wisconsin's schedule, because I think that, you know, we did all this sky is falling talk after the first week, and everything is over, and the world is ending after Alabama loses to Florida State. But I think by the end of the year, by the time you get to December 1st, you're going to look at that first week and say, huh, that wasn't so bad.
That's loser talk. It still was pretty bad.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
It still was pretty bad.
It
was pretty bad.
Was it pretty bad if Florida State runs the table?
Yes, it's still like it was not a result thing. It was the way it happened thing. People were much more upset with how we got to that result as opposed to the actual result.
Okay. I think
it's
fair.
I think we talked about it, like, if it had been a close game where Alabama loses on a field goal or something at the end, like, we're having much different conversations.
It was somewhat close. It was a 7-point game in the fourth quarter.
But it was the way that it all unfolded, where you just very clearly saw examples of little effort, of guys not really caring a lot, and guys playing sloppy. You know, that was what I think caused a lot of the reaction to that Florida State game. Now, I mean, you know, yes, if Florida State goes on to win a national championship, there will be a lot of fans saying things about, well, you see that win, wasn't that bad? But, like, I still think it was mostly just about how they lost rather than them actually losing.
Certainly, there's an argument to be made that if Alabama had played hard throughout the whole game, then maybe the Crimson Tide would have won.
Florida State's still a good football team, though.
Yeah, they are still a good football team.
They are not 2-8 for 2-10 Florida State at all.
Right, they're 2-0 right now. They're off this week, so no, you don't get to watch Florida State this week. Let's look at the rest of their schedule because it looks pretty manageable to me. There are, in my opinion, three challenging games left on this schedule. You are home against Kent State next week after a bye. All right, watch out for them Golden Flashes. Woo. Nick Saban's alma mater right there. Probably going to be a pretty comfortable, easy win. Surely. Then you go to Virginia, not good, not a good football team. 6 o'clock on the Friday night before Alabama plays Georgia. So you'll be able to watch Florida State if you don't make it out to a high school football game. And then you have you catch your hardest game of the year. You've got Miami at home.
This is where Alabama fans lock in to hate watch.
Miami, not Florida State.
I mean, you hate watch to hopefully see Florida State lose.
No, we want Florida State to keep winning.
I don't think that's the place that is occupying many Alabama fans' minds.
Well, they
I think
need
they
it
want to
be.
See the team that beat them lose.
Well, they need Florida State to continue to win so that the loss looks better and better and better.
It's not going to matter that much at the end of the season. It's a week one loss. It's Florida State could go 2-10 again, and as long as Alabama wins out, they're fine.
Well, sure. Alabama still holds their, you know, the ball is still really in Alabama's court, not in a.
I don't think you'll find many Alabama fans that will root for this Florida State team this year. I'll just say that.
Well, they need to be. Yeah, we'll just say. We'll,
I don't think it matters that much.
It will if Alabama's 9-3.
But then you have bigger fish to fry. Like
you're right there on the bubble at 12, 13, 14, 15.
You got bigger issues than
and
if you're
need
at that
and
point.
You need Florida State to like be that, ACC champion.
But it doesn't matter at that point because again, you have bigger issues.
9-3 is not crazy. That's not that bad.
That's pretty bad.
No.
It's pretty bad.
Not, you were flirting with the playoffs last year at 9-3.
And it was your worst season that you've had in 15 years.
Well, we're operating on a different scale here.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think that you need to, you don't need this Florida State team to go on and run the table. It's not that deep.
You do if you go 9-3.
Nah. You got bigger issues if that's what's happening.
If you're 9-3, you've lost to Georgia, Florida State, and South Carolina.
You got bigger problems if that's what's happening. I just don't think it matters. It is a week one loss. It's not going to matter that much. You don't need Florida State to go undefeated here. Now, 2-10, sure, that might look bad, but like as long as they're 6-5, 6-7, like you're fine.
Well, they're going to be that. I'm counting Kent State, Virginia, Miami. You can put it in the gray area. You can give them a loss. I don't care what you put it as. Pitt, probably a tough game, but doesn't look overly tough on paper. You go out to Stanford, who you
worst
should destroy. Right. You have Wake Forest, who you should also destroy. At Clemson, probably a loss. You've got Virginia Tech and NC State, probably two easy wins. And then you're at Florida, who will Florida even have a football program by then because their schedule is so dang brutal.
I'm surprised. I mean, they're going to burn the whole thing down after last week.
9-3 is not crazy here for Florida State. 10-2 is probably where they're going to land. You go 11-1, you're challenging for that ACC title. You lost in your opening week to an ACC champion. Who cares?
I mean, I don't understand. What is the argument here? I'm confused.
The argument is week one's result really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I'm saying it doesn't matter regardless, it doesn't matter that much. Florida State could go on to lose 7 games this year and it still doesn't matter that much. It is all about what Alabama shows the rest of the season. If what Florida State does this year has no effect on Alabama whatsoever. If Alabama plays the way that they played against Florida State the rest of the season, they'll be a bad football team and they will lose a lot more games. If they play the way they played against ULM the rest of the season with some fire and some actual spirit and, you know, heart about them, you're probably winning 10, 11 games this year.
But if you find yourself on the bubble, you're wanting Florida State to be good.
It doesn't matter that much, I don't think. It's week one. If they beat you in week six, sure. It's a week one game.
What does week one versus week six have anything to do with it?
It's later in the season. Nobody cares about week one losses. That's the entire narrative surrounding a week one loss. It's week one. Who cares?
Okay. All right.
It'll be fine. It's a 12-game season. We'll get here in December, and everyone on that playoff committee is going to not even remember this damn game.
That actually is probably true. Let's look at Wisconsin, though. Wisconsin has an awful, awful, awful schedule.
So bad.
You've got your two wins, Wisconsin. I hope you enjoyed that. You're at Alabama.
Oh, man.
You're at Alabama. And, okay, so I don't think it's going to be a contest this weekend.
No, I think I can feel confident going ahead and throwing out like a 50-10 victory.
Yes. I think this 21 is easy money if you're looking to gamble here. Then you got Maryland, coin toss game. Okay.
Sure.
At Michigan, loss. Versus Iowa, probably a loss. Mm-hmm. Versus Ohio State, loss. At Oregon, loss. Versus Washington.
Which Washington's kind of feisty this year.
50-50, probably a loss. At Indiana, loss. Versus Illinois at home, loss. And then you finish with at Minnesota, Ooh. Who you lost to last season. Is this team 2-10?
They just might be. They might close the season out with
3-9.
10 straight losses.
Oh. Maybe you beat Maryland and you only end up with what, 8 straight losses and you finish the year 3-9.
Is that good? I mean, are they firing coaches in Wisconsin for that? Or are they just saying, whatever?
I think that
move on to basketball season.
I think they're firing coaches because what I've been reading over the last 2 weeks is just the fact that the fan base is in a pretty apathetic place.
That's not great. Never where you want to be.
No, it's not. So,
I mean, we kind of talked about it like, was it Monday or Tuesday, whatever, Tuesday, I guess it was. It just how I still feel like it was strange that Luke Fickell took that job. And it always felt, you know, at the time, like, yeah, he's just going to wait for a couple years until that Ohio State job opens up. And here we are 5 years later, and the job still has not opened up, and he's just stuck in Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin, plow right through that line. We will fight for the red and white. Da, 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 da.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Only reason I know that is my high school used Wisconsin's theme right there. All right, so that's pretty much it for the day, Mason. Unless you have anything else
football
for us.
Team. I think Bama wins big this week. Let's see. I did get to watch a little bit over the last 24 hours of Alabama's newest basketball commit, Terrace Bowie.
What'd you see?
Talented player. Really, I mean, he's good at a lot of things. I think he,
Michael Jordan.
You know, what I noticed was, like, seemingly he's got a good feel for the game.
Kawhi Leonard?
When I don't have the ball in my hands, I'm finding open space so that I can have an open lane drive. Or when I do have the ball in my hands, I'm finding guys in open space and giving them opportunities to score. He's really crafty around the rim, you know, Scottie little Pippen? Acrobatic layups and things like that. Good player. I'm excited. No, he's none of those things.
Hall
he's,
of Famer?
He's 16.
Oh, LeBron James?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Great. Roll Tide. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Katie Windham. We'll do a little Football Friday. Predicting this game, there's a huge slate of good games this week. LSU, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. My big thing with the Georgia-Tennessee game is both the fan bases are so insufferable. They're both playing the, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. No, we're going to lose.
See, I feel like I've seen the opposite where they're both just have weird blind confidence over the other one. And I've seen like Georgia fans saying like Tennessee sucks, which they kind of don't, surprisingly. You know, I was wrong about that maybe. And then on the same thing, it's Tennessee fans. And of course now I'm blanking on Stockton. Gunnar Stockton sucks. And it's like, he might not be great, but he doesn't suck. I think that's going to be a fun, just knuckle fight, fist fight game. You know, you talk about phone booth game. That's a phone booth game.
All right. We cannot wait to talk about it tomorrow on the program. Find us on the voicemail machine. Leave us your predictions for Alabama's game and every game at 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can leave us your predictions there for the weekend. You can leave us your comments at MAWoods_@JoeGaither6 or right here at Bama Central. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at Joe Gaither 6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.